I want to read tonight from Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. And Jehovah saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart only evil continually. And verse 13, and God said to Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is full of violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thyself an ark of gopher wood. With cells shalt thou make the ark, and pitch it inside and outside with pitch. And then chapter 7. And Jehovah said to Noah, go into the ark, thou and all thy house, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of all clean beasts thou shalt take to thee by sevens, a male and its female. But of the beasts that are not clean, two, a male and its female. And verse 15, and they went to Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, in which the breath of life. And they that came male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And Jehovah shut him in. And then in the first letter of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20. When the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, into which few, that is, eight souls were saved through water, which figure also now saves you. And then finally, back in Genesis again, chapter 8 and verse 20. And Noah built an altar to Jehovah, and took of every clean animal and of all clean fowl, and offered up burnt offerings on the altar. And Jehovah smelled the sweet odour. And Jehovah said in his heart, I will no more henceforth curse the ground on account of man, for the thought of man's heart is evil from his youth. And I will no more smite every living thing as I have done. Henceforth all the days of the earth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. I have been thinking particularly this week about the story of Noah and the ark. It's a well-known story, of course. The children at school always, when I was small anyway, used to hear the story. There used to be a lot of toys in the toy shops of Noah and the animals. It's a well-known story, even for those that don't know much, if anything, about the Bible. I'm not sure that so much the case these days, but this is not just a fairy tale. This actually happened. Part of the history of mankind. This was a very awesome moment in the history of the world. And Jesus says that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Dear friends, I believe that we are living in those latter days. What was going on in the former days when Noah was on the earth? Well, where I read in Genesis, it accurately describes the situation. It doesn't go into minute detail, but it says that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart only evil continually. Well, that's a very accurate description of the world we live in today. Because man has not changed. Ever since Adam transgressed, fell into sin, that has been the state of man's heart. Romans makes that clear, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I suppose since the beginning of creation until that point, sin, as it were, progressed, and the state of things in the world got worse. We know the first sin that Adam and Eve committed, and then of course there was Cain, but you get the idea and feeling from scripture, and this would bear it out where we read that things progressed in evil. Things got indeed worse and worse until it comes to a point where God says, Jehovah says, that he repented that he had made man. Now that's one statement that I can't really fully explain to you, because God never makes a mistake. But I think it just gives you an impression of how grieved God was about the state of his creation. That very creation, the top stone of his creation, man and woman, who were created in his own very image, had descended into such a rebellious and evil persons that it says that Jehovah repented that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. That's the point. God was always seeking pleasure and adoration and communion and relationship, trust from his creature. But what does he find? That even his thoughts were just evil continually. No let up. And so God has to step in judgment. The patience of God is wonderful. His long suffering is wonderful. And we read about that in Peter. But there comes a point, dear friend, when God says enough is enough. Well, today we're living in a very evil day. In my short lifetime, I've seen things around getting worse and worse. Some of the ideas, some of the philosophies, some of the things that you see around are so against God, and they all come from the heart. The Lord made that clear in his discussions, that it's from what is inside, it's from the heart that all these things come, and they go into the mind, and so that man thinks evil. We're living in a day when there's such a variety of evil, and it's all it comes from the heart of man, and it's processed through the mind, and it comes out in all that we see and hear and feel around us. And so God, at those days, he had to do something. He could not let this go unremedied. He had to deal with the situation. We deal with a God who's faithful and just and true, but he has to deal with matters. He cannot just overlook them. And so he says that I will judge the earth. But alongside God's righteousness is his patience and his grace and his mercy. And he provides a way of escape. So he instructed Noah to build this wonderful vessel, which is described in such detail, which is part of the veracity of scripture. But we get a good understanding of what the ark was. But, you know, God waited 120 years. What patience, you know. What patience God has. And talks about the long-suffering. What do we read in Peter? What God waited in the days of Noah. The interesting, there's a note to long-suffering which is interesting. If you follow it through, it's God's patience towards people. It's not exactly things or situations. Sometimes we have lack of patience with situations, circumstances. But the Greek word there for long-suffering indicates it's to do with people. And it's a wonderful thing that God is so righteous and just, and he wishes to deal with the situation. And yet in his mercy and his grace, he waited. It says in another place, he's long-suffering, not willing the death of a sinner. And so he waited for 120 years while this ark was being built. I don't know how long the ark actually took to build. It says here, while the ark was preparing. But you think of that. Noah, we're told, was a preacher of righteousness. What a faithful man he was. He did exactly what God asked him to do. And so there comes a point when God says, that's enough. The last preaching, if you like, has been held. Noah stops his preaching and he obeys the command of God and he gathers up all and they go into the ark. And it says, where we read, that Jehovah shut the door. Well, today, dear friend, the gospel has gone out for so long. I've listened to dozens, if not hundreds, of gospel preachings. And probably you have too. But you know, one day, and we've heard this, haven't we, before many times, that one day it will be the last gospel preaching. Noah preached the last gospel preaching, and then he went into the ark, and Jehovah shut the door. Well, we're living in a day of immense evil. Everything is militating against God. And we see moral and physical evil and violence. Scripture talks about violence at the end, in the last days. And we're living certainly in a day of much violence. How much more patience has God got with man, with mankind, with this world? Or maybe can I be more personal and say, how much more patience has he got with you? He's waiting on you. There is a remedy. This is the wonderful thing in the glad tidings, and why this is, why we preach and why it is called glad tidings. Because although judgment is impending, and God will do what he said he will do, he's a faithful God, he's a patient God, he's a long-suffering God, but he's also a God of action and justice and power. And he will come in judgment, just as he did in Noah's day. And it says, Paul, when he preached in Athens, he said, God has set a day when he will judge the whole habitable world, earth, in righteousness, but it's by the man whom he has appointed. And that's the one I want to speak about tonight, God's beloved Son, the man whom he has appointed. Of course, the ark speaks of Jesus in that way. They were safe, weren't they, as they went into the ark? You know, you think of God's judgment. If you read the whole account in Genesis, that the heavens opened, the window, it says the windows of heavens opened. So there was a great water coming down from above, and it says the expanse of the deep were opened. So you had both, the amount of water, the deluge was unbelievable, and yet the ark was perfectly safe. And what a wonderful picture that is of our salvation. Jesus, you know, is our remedy, and we're safe in him because he has borne the judgment of sin. You see, the flood had to come, the God's judgment came. And Peter, it says, by water. But, dear friend, the ark was borne up. Jesus has borne the judgment. He bore the judgment of sin. Not only did he die for us, but he took the whole burden of sin he became sin. You think of that, dear friend. Him who knew no sin, it says, became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And so, dear friend, you think of these souls, they were safe in the ark. I know it says only 8 were saved. How sad that is. It's wonderful for them, of course, but how sad it was. Noah preached and no one listened. And we preach today. I heard someone say recently, you know, it's a terrible thing that you used to hear years ago of people being saved. But nowadays it's a rarity. And why is that? There are, of course, many precious souls being saved in different parts of the earth. I think in the West, it's governmental. We've turned our back against God. But years ago, you did hear of people being saved. But where is the interest? Where is the desire? Where is the yearning and the seeking? I believe these are the last days. It says the love of the many have grown cold. And yet, there may be one, there may be more. But this is, there may be one more gospel preaching. Noah preached his last preaching. Well, we don't know. These are very strange times. Many of us who believe in Jesus think that these are the very last days. Everything seems to be pointing to it. How life has changed in the last 6 months. Surely God is going to deal with the world and all its problems. He's going to judge evil. The door of mercy will close. Just as the Jehovah closed the door of the ark, so God will close the door of God's mercy and God's grace. But you know, you have the opportunity. Just as Noah's fellow men had the opportunity, so you have the opportunity now to come into the ark of safety. You know, it's wonderful. When I read what I read about the ark, it says it was pitched within and without with pitch. Water couldn't get in. They were absolutely safe in that ark. And I can tell you tonight, dear friend, that if you trust in Jesus as your saviour, if you put your personal trust in him, believe in him. Think of what Paul said to the jailer in Philippi. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That shalt is rather like the pitch inside and out. Absolutely guaranteed. No wonder we can sing blessed assurance. I wonder tonight if you have blessed assurance. Do you know absolutely that you're safe? That you're safe in Jesus? You know, he has borne the judgment. The water came down on the ark. The ark, you know, was kept. It wasn't swallowed up, but it bore all the wrath of God, and yet it came out victorious. It's just like my precious Saviour. He bore the whole wrath of God so that you and I who trust in him are untouched. And yet Jesus came out, you might say, triumphant. He rose from the dead. That's what Paul says in the Acts, you know. He's going to judge the whole world in righteousness by the man whom he has appointed. Who is that man? It says, by the man who was raised from the dead. How wonderful that is. The one who bore our sins in his own body on the tree. The one who became sin in that 3 hours of darkness which we can never understand. That very one who bore the judgment is going to be the judge. He's going to be the one who comes again. And the proof of it is that he's been risen from the dead. Because Jesus is no longer on the cross. He's no longer in the grave. He's at God's right hand. He's actually there in heaven, physically. This is no myth, dear friends. Jesus, the blessed Son of God, the one who died and now is risen. He's sitting at God's right hand, and we believe that he's soon coming again, coming for all that believe in him. How wonderful this is. This is the gospel. This is good news. Surely this is good news to everyone who's fearful. You know, I'm sure many in Noah's day wonder what on earth he was doing, and I'm sure they mocked. And it says in Peter, you know, that in the last days there shall come mockers. And we live in a day where everything's made light of in relation to God and his things. But we're told in Scripture that God is not mocked. So I'd urge you tonight, dear friends, to turn to Jesus. The judgment is coming, but it speaks of being delivered. Jesus, it says, is our deliverer from the coming wrath. Surely the wrath is coming. It's coming down the road, down the track. I believe it's almost here. But you know, the church, the church of Jesus Christ, everyone that belongs to him forms part of that church, and that will be gone. God will not unleash his full judgment on the earth while his people are here. And so we're preaching in the light of the fact that Jesus is coming again very soon. He's coming for his own, and he will take everyone who belongs in him, to him, to be with himself forever. What a wonderful hope. No wonder in Scripture it's called a blessed hope. Everyone that believes in him has that hope in him. Just interesting that it says in, it was pointed out to me the other day that in Genesis, you know, where we read at the first part of it, that the evil of man's thoughts was only evil continually, and then, as I said, God repented. But then when Noah comes out of the ark in chapter 8, he says it's the same thing. Man's heart hasn't changed, because it says in verse 21, for the thought of man's heart is evil from his youth. So you might say, well, what has changed? Well, two things have changed since between chapter 6 and chapter 8. First, of course, is that the flood has happened and the ark has borne up on it, so that it's an earth that's been cleansed. It's an earth where sin has been dealt with. And for every believer, you know, we can say as we trust in Jesus that sin has been dealt with. But it's interesting that when Noah came out of the ark, he built an altar and he took of every clean animal. I often used to wonder, you know, why we often hear about the animals going in two by two. But if you read the account where I touched on the two, it talks about seven animals and those that were clean. There were seven that were clean and two that were unclean. The reason, of course, I know now is that those clean animals were included so that they could be sacrificed. You know, God always knows what he's going to do. He has a plan of salvation. And this was all part of it, that which was clean was going to be brought through, and so that Noah would be able to offer a sacrifice. And it says in verse 21, and Jehovah smelled the sweet odor, the odor, and the note says odor of rest. I think that's a wonderful picture of the work of Christ. What's the difference between chapter 6 and chapter 8 when it says that man's heart was still the same? The difference is, dear friend, that Jesus has died and risen again. God was completely satisfied with the work of Jesus. He's complacent. He can absolutely rest in what Jesus has done. And therefore, because God, as the hymn says in one of our hymns, God is satisfied with Jesus, and we are satisfied as well. Well, tonight, dear friend, as you think of all that's going on around you, surely you would want to escape the judgment. You can, as you put your trust in Jesus. And the glorious news of the gospel is that because of that work of Jesus on the cross in bearing our sins and becoming sin, God is absolutely satisfied. He's absolutely accepting what Jesus has done. And therefore, he can be complacent in it And therefore, if God is satisfied with what Jesus did on my behalf and yours, then surely all we can do is to put our trust and faith in that Blessed One. And we will then be safe. Our heart has, although it was wicked and sinful, it can be cleansed. And what Jesus has done makes all the difference. And so therefore, as a trusting, as one who believes in Jesus, you can look forward to a day when you'll be free of sin. How wonderful that is. It's often been said, hasn't it, that I have been saved from my sins. And I am being saved. And I will physically be saved from the very presence of sin. And what a glorious future awaits every believer in Jesus. Well, dear friend, tonight the gospel goes out that you might put your trust and faith in him. The days, I believe, these have never been such dark days. I believe, if you look around, you talk to people, and many people are concerned. And yet, generally, things are going on just as they are. Jesus says, as it were in the days of Noah, they were marrying and giving in marriage. Things were just carrying on. And there were those that were so wrapped up in themselves that they didn't understand the signs of the times. Well, dear friends, read the Bible, look at God's word, and look around at what's going on, and you'll see that God is soon going to step in judgment. But dear friends, you have the opportunity of putting your trust in Jesus, and you will be as safe as those were in the ark. And you will come out into a new situation. How wonderful that is, as you put your trust and faith in the Lord Jesus, in his finished work and his precious blood, what he did for you. You'll come out, as it were, into a new situation where you can have peace and joy. You know, in Genesis chapter 8 and chapter 9, it was a new beginning where there was the opportunity of meeting with God again, of satisfying his heart, of having a relationship with him. We know, of course, that Noah failed, as we all do, but the sacrifice was still there. The judgment had been born, and God was favourable. He was satisfied with what had happened. The sacrifice was there. Dear friend, tonight, the sacrifice is still there. That one blessed sacrifice was made once and for all at Calvary's cross. Therefore, while you have the opportunity, please, I would urge you to come to the Lord Jesus in faith. Put your trust in him, and you will be able to sing, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine," for his name's sake.